Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
So Sherry, I'm so excited to have you on the show today, Integrative Lyme Solution with Dr. Karlfeldt. So, tell a little bit, how's your day been so far?
Good. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate this opportunity. I've been good. I'm a busy mom of five, so.
How old are they?
I've got a 13, 10, 8, 6, and 3.
I was wondering what direction you were going to go when you said 13, if you were going to count up or count down. So yeah. I was hoping it was up, but down that's a lot.
That's a lot. Well, we're so excited to have you share your journey so many people, you know, they think that they're alone going through this journey. So it's nice to have this podcast to listen to, you know, what you and others have struggled with and the battles that you've overcome to give them that hope and much, much needed inspiration to continue fighting their journey. So we're anxious to hear your story. When did it all start?
Yeah.
How did it all start?
Right. I've always been healthy. I feel like I don't have a typical Lyme story, which maybe will be good for a group of people that are kind of confused. So I've always been healthy. I was the child that never got sick, or my mom would always joke and say, "You're the one bringing it all to you." Know, if I was sick, I was sick for maybe like half a day and then I would beat it. Like, I've just had a great immune system my whole life. So I live in Northern Virginia, not too far from DC area, which is like Lyme epidemic, right? I'm from the West Coast, so I had zero knowledge of Lyme, of ticks, of Lyme disease, nothing, you know, never seen a tick in my life. Maybe heard Lyme disease one time. That's kind of it. September 2017, I was working out on my property and was in showering, and I just had a baby, but my 3-year-old at the time goes, "Mommy, what's on your shoulder right there?" And I kind of looked and I was like, "Ah, what is this?" You know, I didn't know what it was. So I called my husband up and he was like, "Oh, it's a tick." And, you know, he got the tweezers, he pulled it off me. I knew nothing about them. And I, other than the fact that I was a little grossed out, I was like, okay. And I moved on
Done deal. Right.
Yeah. Moved on with my life. Knew nothing of the fact that I should have taken antibiotics at this point to get, you know, an infection, like a quick get the infection gone quickly. I mean, nothing. And I didn't have, within those days, no symptoms of no bullseye, no feeling sick. I mean, I was fine. I did have a stressful October, November, December, you know, of that, right, you know, those 3 months after. And I did get in November, like a laryngitis, where I lost my voice for about a week and a half. I feel like I've had that one time before, but I just chalked it up to, I probably have a cold, I'm stressed. Right. I was leading a choir at the time. I was singing a lot, you know, so I just thought, oh, my voice is ragged. Like, I'm not taking care of myself.
It wasn't Lyme on your brain.
Oh, of course not. I never even heard of it. You know, I was trying to get through the holiday season. I was in charge of a Christmas program, in charge of all the musical numbers. And yeah, that's what I was worried about. So January 2018, I was getting ready for an event on a Saturday. And I started feeling some tingling on my face, on my left side of my face. And I kind of just chalked it up to, oh, I wonder if like I'm having a reaction to my makeup or something, because I didn't wear makeup very often.
Okay.
And I had put it on because I was going to a baptism for somebody. And so I was tingling all right here. And, you know, throughout the baptism, it was still happening. I'm like, oh, it's still, I'm still tingling. After this baptism, I'd gone home. It's spreading, right? My left side is just starting to get further. And by that evening, my entire face was tingling numb.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is happening? You know? Yeah. So I was really good friends with my dentist, actually. Our children are good friends and we're good friends with their family. And so I called him and was like, something's going on in my face, like, and my tooth hurt. Like, am I having like an infection or something? And so he was like, well, it's possible. So he was like, here's 10 days of antibiotics and here's a 10-day steroid for the inflammation. And so I'm like, okay, you know, I knew nothing about anything other than Western medicine at this point, right? Yep. So I'm like, this is gonna fix it. You know, yeah. I'm done. So it's not working. Like, nothing's changing. And I finally, though, on the 10th day, I woke up after I'd taken all my medication. I'd taken all 10 days of the penicillin that he prescribed me and the 10-day steroid. Which was the methylprednisone. That 11th day, I woke up that next morning and my face wasn't numb anymore. It was gone.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, that's it. That was weird. You know, had no idea. And then about 2 weeks later, I would say I started getting the tingling. It didn't come full force like it did. It was just like, oh, I'm going to tingle here. Now I'm going to tingle on your chin. Now I'm going to come over here. And so it was random spots. And I'm like, why is this happening again? This should have been taken care of. So, you know, I'd already taken the penicillin. I'd already done that. I thought, well, I could do that again, but I don't really know what's going on. And then I started, you know, when things are happening, you start to get anxious. And I'm not an anxious person. I actually have never struggled with any mental health issues prior to this. Never been depressed or had anxiety or anything. And so I'm starting to feel anxious like all the time. And I'm, you know, I'm tingling in my hands and I'm tingling up my arms and my face is tingling. And that's it, though. These are the only symptoms.
It's kind of feeling like you're losing control. Yeah, I mean, something you don't have control over anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and if your arms are tingling now, we definitely know it's not the makeup.
Right.
Nothing's going on with your makeup, right? Or
I had
a toothache.
No makeup.
Right.
Well, and the funny thing was, is I had been talking to my dentist friend about this off and on, and I guess he had missed the part when I had said it was both sides, and he goes, wait, this is both sides. He goes, this is not a dental infection.
Oh.
I thought you were just talking about one side. I'm like, no, my whole face is numb. He's like, this is not a dental infection.
Okay. Yeah. Call your regular doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went into the emergency room because I'm like, this is concerning. Like, this is coming back. And of course they do MRIs. They do all the testing and they're like, cause I think they're, from my knowledge, their initial thought was, oh, maybe she has MS, because facial numbness is like a huge MS, like a number one of the main things that happens, right? The tingling numbness. And there's a lot of times it's the face. And so I'm going in thinking, you know, of course, the worst possible scenario here, because Google likes to do that to you, right?
Absolutely. Google is our favorite worst friend.
Yeah, yeah, we all have brain cancer. That's what it ends. Yeah,
we do. So I'm a mess, and they do all these testing, and they're like, "Your MRI is clear. Everything's fine. Like, I don't know why your face is numb. Sorry."
You're going to live.
See you later. Yeah, see you later. And I'm like, no. My face is numb. This is not normal. So that was that. I had gone, and I believe I went back in one other time within a couple of weeks when I was still having the issue. And I think when it had spread to like my hands and stuff. And of course got a new doctor. He's like, well, you already had an MRI like a month ago. They said you're fine. I mean, basically he did some tests to appease me, but then he sits down in front of me and he says, so you have 5 children, right? And I said, yeah. And he goes, I think you're just stressed.
Of course.
And yeah. I was like, my face is numb because I'm stressed. Yes. Okay. And I think that was my first experience with like Western medicine doctors and that whole, like, I believed at this time up until that point, like these people will fix you.
Right. Whatever they say is gospel. Yeah. Right.
I did think that. And then when he said that to me, like, I'm not a violent person, but I had an urge to really just like smack him a little bit. Like, no. And my husband had been working, he'd worked closely with a CEO of a hospital. So he very much knew possible protocols and, you know, just a lot of that stuff. And, you know, he had kind of was like, what? Like, you know, he knew like that was really an unacceptable answer. You don't yeah. say something like that to somebody. So at that point I thought, I am never going back to the ER again. They have no idea what to do with me. And they're just trying to find a symptom to match. You know what I mean? They're just trying to.
They just want to give you something so that mm-hmm. you'll go home.
Yeah. And they offered me things. I'm like, I don't want any drugs. I don't need any Xanax. I need my face to go numb,
yeah.
you know, and if they couldn't comprehend that, I'm like, I don't want anything from you other than if you're going to fix the problem.
Well, so they want to give you medication so that you are less aware of the what you're dealing with, you know, so you're happy while your face is numb.
yeah, it was a real treat, really was. So that was kind of my introduction into that whole ordeal of, okay, hey, they're as much as they. So I luckily, my husband had a childhood friend that I knew also pretty well. We grew up in the same town. And she had a 2-year bout with Lyme disease. Very, very brutal. She'd picked up, I think, on a foreign trip, walking through jungles and things like that. And I didn't know this. I wasn't super aware, but I had called her because I knew, I think she knows something about Lyme disease. And it said, well, this is what's happening. And she's like, I think you have Lyme disease. I'm like, no, I don't have Lyme disease. Yeah, no, but she was right. Right. So she told me though, cause I was having some neck pain also with my facial issues. She said, well, maybe you should go to a chiropractor. Maybe you have a pinched nerve. Well, I'd never been to, I was 33 years old and never been to a chiropractor actually ever. Okay.
Cause the medical doctor fixes everything. So why would you need to?
Yeah. Well, and I have had a lot of friends, you know, that they went to a chiropractor weekly and things. And I just, that never sounded appealing to me. I'm like, no, thank you.
If we're not broke, don't fix it, right?
Yeah. And I've never had any issues. So I thought, why would I go? But I thought, okay, well, maybe I'll go and maybe I do have a pinched nerve because I've been playing on a volleyball league. Like I played a volleyball game, some pretty hardcore volleyball games a couple nights before this happened. So I thought maybe there's a link here. Maybe I do have a pinched nerve. Well, I went in and this doctor was very kind, very knowledgeable. He knew more than MD doctors knew for sure. I feel like chiropractors and I can't think of their name, but you know, knee doctors, like foot doctors, I feel like they know a lot more about nutrition and health and things like that. And he definitely knew things. Well, he was like, yeah, you've got some misalignment. So he adjusted me. He did a neck pop for me. And within an hour of leaving his office, my entire face went numb again. Okay. It was very scary because I'm thinking, oh, he's going to go and help me, or like at least it won't do anything or he'll fix the problem. But no, my whole face, I mean, just red numbness again. And then within about 30 minutes, I was in like excruciating pain, like my face. I was getting, I guess, what now I know is like a trigeminal neuralgia. So, I mean, zaps in my head, zaps in my mouth, in my cheeks. My teeth were just hurting so badly. It was just terrible. And I took an ibuprofen 800 and that like barely took the edge off type. And I'm a person that never took medication. So my husband was like, I know it's bad if you're willing to take something. And unfortunately I was leaving for Disney World the next day with my family and children. And I'd never been to Disney World. It was like a dream for me. But I'm like, we're going, we've spent so much money. Right.
Right.
So I'm traveling with this excruciating pain. Like I just have the most horrible headache in my temple. I mean, I'm getting zapped constantly in my mouth, in my head. I'm crying pretty much the whole way up. My husband's like, this is not conducive. We shouldn't go on this trip. We had to call. I mean, fortunately, I have a mother-in-law that we called in Washington State and was like, can you please, we'll pay for your flight. You have to come to Florida. Like, I don't think we need help with the kids, you know, because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do that. Well, I'm still in lots of pain and we do our Florida trip. I'm in pain the whole time. We're driving back from Florida and I'm starting to feel where I can't stay sitting. Like, if I'm on one side, I'm feeling like I'm getting fluid built up. I switch to the other, then it's coming up this way. And I'm starting to get I've never had a migraine before. And I'm starting to get what I assume would be a migraine. Still in pain. Oh, one of the other things I mentioned is I wanted to tell people I felt like I had worms going through my eyes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right. Like I just felt like I would feel it. And then I'd be like, oh, go away. Like I could feel it. And I had no idea what was going on. And I thought, well, I'll just, you know, I had an appointment scheduled with a neurologist, but of course you can't get in till like.
For months. Yeah.
Months, you know. But I thought, well, I'll go into the ER when I get home, even though, you know, they didn't help me before. Maybe they'll help me because I'm getting this like horrible migraine. And I get home and I'm getting to a point where I've taken ibuprofen 800 and I took Tylenol or something else to combat it, like within a certain amount of time, because I have right here on my left area, my forehead, I have the most excruciating pain. And I told my husband, I feel like I'm like having a brain aneurysm. Uh-huh. It was really scary. And I can't sleep. So about at 1 a.m, I go to the ER I'm shaking. My friend took me. I'm shaking. I can't. I'm have light sensitivity. I am throwing up. I felt like I was trying to stay alive. It was really scary. I get in and they're like, you just have a migraine. And my friend that's there with me has excruciating migraines. She has migraine medicine and she's like, she does not have a migraine. Like you need to, something else is going on. Well, I had meningitis. Oh. So the chiropractor within that week, whatever he did, released something, probably one of the herpes viruses that maybe was hanging out right here, mm-hmm. released it. And I ended up with meningitis. And I don't know how I'm alive because they did not take that seriously. And they gave me a shot of some migraine medicine in my arm. And it brought that like brain aneurysm feeling down enough mm-hmm. that I like was like, okay, but my head at this time is filled with fluid. Mm-hmm. Like I can't lay down. They keep telling me, well, just lay down. I said, no, I can't. It hurts so bad. And they're like, it hurts to lay your head down. I'm like, yes. Like I couldn't. I had so much head pressure and I found out I have viral meningitis.
Wow. And
it was just so terrible. So I happened to have an appointment with the neurologist the next day. Mm-hmm. They're like, just go see the neurologist tomorrow. I'm like,
I'm in so much pain right now.
Yeah, I realize they figure that out because the neurologist sees me, and at first she goes, "Well, you have trigeminal neuralgia," and I go, "Well, by then I didn't have any of the pain. The pain had calmed down. It was like that week was the initial, but then it went away." And I'm like, "Okay, but both sides of my face are numb." And she's like, "Oh, well, I guess you don't have trigeminal neuralgia then." But then I was trying to tell her that my head had like filled up with fluid, and she's looking and seeing, "Oh, I see you were at the hospital last night." And she's like, "You have meningitis." I'm like, "Well, tell your staff that they missed that because." Oh, so I obviously have to go through the whole, but it's viral meningitis. It's not bacterial. Mm-hmm. So I have to deal with all that. And she just says, "Well, let me give you a 10-day steroid." Okay, sure, I'll take that. I'm at this point where I'm not comprehending things because I have so much fluid in my brain. Mm-hmm. I can't carry on a conversation. I'm wearing sunglasses. You know, this is not normal. So I take that, but it doesn't take it all down. And then I kind of end up saying, "Forget this," and find an LLMD. Mm-hmm. And because I thought, well, I'll go and find out if I have Lyme disease.
This was based upon maybe your suggestion of your husband's friend.
Right. Just because of the whole situation. Nothing was getting fixed from what. You know, I still had this numb face, and I had taken that steroid and it didn't take the facial numbness away this time. So then I was trying to figure out, well, was it the antibiotic that took it away the first time? Was it the combo? No.
And did you ever remember that you had that tick when you were in the shower? So did it ever cross your mind during this?
It crossed my mind when my friend said, "Maybe you have Lyme disease." And I was like, no, I don't. And then I'm like, well, I was bit by a tick in September. Yeah. You know, that started kind of coming back. And so with the podcast, do you want us to say places we've been and things, or do we keep that on the down low?
No, whatever you want to share. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. I just know when I listen to these podcasts, I always thought, I want more information from these people. Like what, you know?
Exactly.
So I went to the Kaplan Center. It's in McLean, D.C. And I had some phenomenal doctors there. And I met with a lady and kind of, you know, told, first of all, I wasn't used to having a 2-hour appointment where you tell your story, right?
Right. We're used to 5 minutes.
Right. It was so weird to me. And then it was even stranger when she started asking me about, what was your childhood like? What was your birth like? And I'm like, what does this have to do?
I got Lyme disease. What is that?
What does this have to do? I mean, I get it now, but at the time, I'm like, what does this have to do with, you know?
Right.
So she says to me, you know, I love LLMDs, but I get a little frustrated because I feel like they have so much knowledge, right? We finally find people that know these things. And then I feel like they have this toolbox, but then they open this toolbox and then they're like, here's antibiotics, you know, which isn't always bad. It's everybody does things differently.
And there's a time and place for everything.
Yeah. But I just feel, I'm like, well, what about all this? But so she was like, well, here's some antibiotics. And of course I'm still in Western medicine mode. So I'm like, okay, you know, sure. I'll take these. And she draws my blood. We do an Igenix test. She says, you know, we'll talk about the results soon. Well, I try to take the medication, and after the first pill, my head got just worse. Like the fluid, because it never had come down. I'm still dealing with meningitis. And an antibiotic is probably the worst thing to put into my body when I have viral meningitis. And so I took like one or two pills and then was like, I can't do this. I've got to find a different way because it was making it worse. And it wasn't like a herxing worse. It was a, you know, I don't even know how to describe the feeling that I felt with the meningitis, but it was just a full head. You're not there. Like, you're not all there. You're just living in this time warp is kind of what it felt like. So I get my results back and she says, well, yeah, you have Lyme disease. You don't have any co-infections. And I'm like, okay, which I find out later is really, really rare.
Yeah, it is.
So, and I barely passed the Lyme disease test, which is even more interesting. I'm like right on the mark, but I know I've been bit by a tick.
Were you on the mark from being CDC positive?
I don't know about that. My CDC tests were negative. And of course, at the time when I took those, I didn't know anything about bands and, you know, like that, unfortunately.
I assume they explained that to be positive on these tests are fairly rare, and especially if your immune system is really shut down and beaten down by Lyme disease.
I feel like being in Virginia, it's a little bit better than normal because they do see so many Lyme disease or so much Lyme disease issues. Like with my kids, when they've been bit by ticks, I mean, I just call the pediatrician and say, they're bit by a tick. And the pediatrician's like, okay, here.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
It's just, they're so good. They're better because it's Virginia.
Right.
Yeah.
But they still missed like my signs, you know? And so, well, at least the ER doctors. But actually backing up, I did go to my regular doctor and she had no idea. She was like, I don't know what's wrong with you. And kind of left with that, you know, don't know. And she did do a Western blot for me, which came back negative. So she's like, don't know what to tell you, you know, at this point. I think the mark is like 40 and up is positive for IGenix. And I was like 40.
Okay.
So I was like barely there, but I did have quite a few symptoms of Lyme disease, you know, besides the whole facial numbness and things like that, I was having some issues. So I went with it, but I thought, I need to go a different route, which was really scary for me. You know, when you have Western medicine and you have this, like, here, take this pill, it'll fix you. And you start learning about herbal medicine, you're like, well, it's very scary to kind of, I felt like I was missing out on, well, if I don't take this Western medicine now, like what's going to happen? Like, what if I go the herbal route and it doesn't fix me? And then I've lost my chance to go the Western medicine route. Like I was really scared.
Right.
So, I luckily came in contact with another gal from California through a mutual acquaintance who was battling Lyme disease, and she was kind of coming out of it a lot more. And I called her, poor girl, and her and I are great friends now. That was one of the huge benefits of getting this Lyme is her and I have been friends for 2.5 years now.
Oh, I love it.
We've still never met, but we Marco Polo all the time and talk and I kind of called her and was like, I just found out I have Lyme disease and I heard that you had it and you didn't take antibiotics and you took herbs. Like, what did you know? I kind of was like, what did you do? And she was so patient with me and kind of told me, but what I ended up doing was I ordered Dr. Rawls, all the books right here. I ordered Dr. Rawls, his Unlocking Lyme book.
Okay.
Great.
And I read this like no other. It's, you can tell like how bent up it is. And she told me, you know, that's what I did. I ordered this book and I followed the protocol from this book. And so I was like, okay, well, that's what I'm going to do, you know, because I started reading how so many people were on antibiotics for years and then like not healing or like you know, thinking they're healing and then getting hit again with it. And, you know, and I was like, this sounds terrible, you know? So, I thought, well, I'm going to try this. And I just felt, I heard so many more success stories with herbs at the time. Which was a huge leap for me. It was really scary, but I decided to do that. And I did exactly the protocol in his book. And I ordered my herbs from Green Dragon Botanical online, which I feel like are the purest herbs you're going to get for Lyme disease. That office is phenomenal. I believe it's an acupuncture office actually in Vermont that just like they make their herbs and they grow them and make them and then they send them out. So I just ordered and they're inexpensive. Like it's not outrageous and you get a good amount. Because as everybody knows, you start paying pocket out of everything, even when you have phenomenal insurance like I do.
Yeah. It doesn't do you any good when you have Lyme disease.
It's so frustrating. Yeah. So that's what I did. I started and I went hardcore. And the other thing that I did was, I read Amy Meyer's Autoimmune Solution. And I followed her, food protocol to a T. Like I was like, oh, I'm going to hurt. Like I didn't have any digestive issues or anything like that ever. But I thought, which I still believe how naive I was. I thought I'm going to change my diet. I'm going to heal my gut. I'm going to take these herbs and then it's going to be gone. You know, like it's still really funny and naive to me. I mean, it works, but it's just not so quick.
Right.
Well, I mean, you're used to the Western mindset, like you're saying, you take a pill and it fixes it and then you're better and it's gone.
And you're done.
And you're done. So it's none of these kind of chronic, long-term, you take a pill and it fixes it.
Right. And I wonder, I had heard a really good podcast from not a holistic doctor, but an herbalist up in New York who had Lyme disease himself and kind of mentioned, you know, well, depending on how long you have it, like 30-day antibiotic could be great. And then you switch to herbs or what, you know, things like that. And so I have thought, and I wonder if I would have taken the 30-day of antibiotic just as a pill that for my situation, like it was making my meningitis worse. So I went the herbal route and I bought an infrared sauna. Which I still use. And I took chlorella pills for that and I would get in the sauna every day. I took Epsom salt bath, hot water baths to detox. I mean, religiously, because the herbs, they were helping me, but they did mess with my meningitis a little bit, but not to the extent that the antibiotics were. So I did that in the beginning and I did all that for about, I did that for about a year. I did that for a year straight. I did Amy Meyer's for a year and a half actually. And then I was still on all these and then I got to a point where, I want to back up and just tell maybe some of the symptoms, other symptoms I had while taking the herbs. Obviously, I was having like excruciating teeth pain. My face would burn. Like I'd have that burning feeling. It was tingling, but it would be burning. Terrible teeth pain. Brain fog, anxiety. I was having like knee joint pain off and on, which hadn't come until I started treating, which was interesting. I would get the weirdest sore throats where only half of my throat would be sore. So like my left side of my throat would be sore, but the right side would be completely fine. It was very, very weird.
That's interesting.
And, you know, a lot of I would get like left-sided numbness. So most of everything is pretty much left-sided for me, which is kind of where I got bit, which is interesting. And then I had a lot of I wouldn't say it was psoriasis, but like psoriasis-like on my scalp, mm-hmm. where I would just be so itchy and I would literally be itching off like patches of my scalp. It was so bad. And then of course I would have this terrible dandruff and, you know, I found solutions for those things and a lot of, like UTI issues, lady issues, things like that. I was really struggling with.
And that was and all brought out by treating.
It was, yeah. But I feel like it wasn't the things that I've read from others that are dealing with Lyme, that the things they go through, it was not to the extent that others dealt with. I feel like my main extent was, or my main issues were my meningitis and like my facial numbness and the teeth pain. But when I was treating, like the teeth pain went away and I was doing really well. I still had the tingling numbness and for a really long time, that was the only thing I couldn't get rid of. Everything else went away. But I stopped treating for about 3 months. I took a summer off cause I was just exhausted from it. Mm-hmm. And after I did really well, I was fine. But after those 3 months, I started getting teeth pain again.
So when you say teeth pain, do you mean it feels like every tooth in your mouth has a cavity?
Yeah, left side. Okay. So like gums burning, I would say burning was the hugest thing. All this area, my top and bottom, gums okay. burning, they would hurt. I'd also get this weird sensation of like electricity running through my gums and my teeth.
Yeah, electricity's big.
Yeah, so that would happen, but not like a shock. I luckily wasn't getting like the trigeminal nerve shock like others are. Mm-hmm. I definitely had the other part where it was more the burning or the pain. Or the teeth pain. So I did finally seem to get that under control, and I feel that I got that under control with taking a 14-day antiviral Valtrex. So, which I asked my LLMD for, because I thought, I feel like this is viral. Like I was having like a continuous viral infection in my mouth. Mm-hmm. And once I did that, I haven't had the teeth pain back. So that was, I would recommend to anybody, if you have trigeminal nerve issues, to try an antiviral. And just, I mean, antivirals have such low toxicity that I think, you know, it's worth a shot.
Yeah.
I really do think it though, because it took it. I mean, I would have, I know how people feel. I would have those moments where I would just be in the bathtub, just crying with just the jaw pain and the ache. And it was excruciating.
What did they, can you kind of paint a picture of what the program mm-hmm. looks like? You know, the herbal program.
For
people to kind of understand.
Yeah, definitely. So, I would take my herbs morning, afternoon, and night. I would say for a little bit, the main herbs, the cat's claw, the Japanese knotweed. I did take Andrographis. I was able to tolerate that pretty easily because I've never had stomach issues, but I know some people can't, which I think are great for parasites if people have those. So that's a good one. I definitely took my glutathione, my NAC. So what I did though, is I went in the book and I looked at everything that he said to take, and I looked at what they did for you. Mm-hmm. And then I picked from my symptoms, which ones I need to do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you kind of modified mm-hmm. Dr. Rawls' protocol according mm-hmm. to your symptoms.
Yeah. And I forgot to mention, I did have the heart palpitations too. For a little while I would have those, or I would be sleeping and then wake up like in a panic or have that paralyzed feeling. That was in the very beginning. And I remember being so terrified to fall asleep because I thought I wouldn't wake up. Wow. Just so scary. It's so scary. Yeah. But for that specifically, I got on reishi mushroom, 600 milligrams. For the heart, and that helped so much, and it cleared it up so fast. Okay. I went to a cardiologist to make sure my heart is good, and they said everything looks perfect. So you kind of just know it's just attacking. You know what I mean? I know some people do have heart issues, but I would definitely suggest go to a cardiologist, so it's just so you know. And then when you're having these heart palpitations, you know it's the Lyme disease, like your heart's not actually being right. destroyed.
Right.
You know. But the reishi mushroom helped with that so much. I took cat's claw, Japanese knotweed, like I said, glutathione, NAC. I took obviously my vitamins, like the D's and the B's and the, I'm trying to think what else. It's all such a blur. No.
And you just kind of stayed on that same protocol throughout and
yep.
didn't change it.
Yes. Yeah, so I did, I made a list of what I was going to do. So I wrote it all out and then I would take it morning, afternoon, evening, and I would just do the 500 milligrams. So I was really only taking 1500 milligrams, a day of each. And I realized I didn't learn till later on that usually when you take higher doses of herbs is when you kind of get more like you want to work your way up. So I did that like a year later. Like I feel like within 8 months of being on this protocol, all my symptoms were gone.
Okay.
Because I was on Amy Myers too. Mm-hmm. So I hardcore followed Amy Myers. Like I did not eat gluten, dairy, sugar, like anything terrible, right? I was really, I also want to say I was really lenient on my meat. Like I maybe only ate meat like twice a week.
Okay.
And obviously I ate very organic, very clean. A lot of smoothies, right? Mm-hmm. Juicing, lemon water was always a huge one for me. I know it's hard to stand in the beginning, but I don't, now I put so much lemon in it, I don't know how I manage. I'm so used to it, but I'm like, there's not enough lemon in this water. So I did that a lot in the beginning. And I feel like within 8 months, I feel like maybe it was less than that. It was April to October. I was doing really well. I still had the facial numbness though. I couldn't get rid of it. Everything else gone, but that I couldn't. And so I stayed on it for another year.
Yeah.
And I still couldn't get rid of the facial numbness. Like I don't, and so I didn't know it. I'm like, at this point, is it damaged? You know?
Right.
I don't know. The only thing also had feeling still really was full. And I know a lot of people talk about that as a huge symptom where they feel their head, like they feel like they have a helmet on their head. Mm-hmm. And as much as I didn't like it, and I know it's really frowned upon in the Lyme community, I finally broke down and I took a 10-day steroid and it took it completely away.
Wow.
So I endured it for a year and a half. I had that meningitis feeling. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I remember like going and playing piano for an hour and then coming home and crashing because I'd used so much like brain power to be able to do that, that I would sleep for like 4 or 5 hours. It just exhausted me. And I eventually had to ask to say, like, I can't play anymore. And I felt terrible, but I'm like, I can't function. Like when I play, it was so hard. So I took that 10-day steroid and my head feels completely normal. And I've never gone back since.
And the facial numbness, did that change as well?
It didn't touch the facial numbness. Didn't touch it. Yeah. So with the facial numbness, I feel like after everything, and that was like my journey, right? I'm like, how am I going to get rid of this facial numbness? So I did a few things. I definitely got on low dose naltrexone, which I advocate wholeheartedly. I think it's amazing and wonderful.
The 4.5 milligrams.
Yeah. I've been on that for 2 years and I just think it's phenomenal. Also again, really low toxicity.
When you say phenomenal, yeah, what did you notice with that?
I think, yeah, I luckily, besides my face, I wasn't in any other pain. I know a lot of people are in a lot of pain. My mom has fibromyalgia, and many people I know that have fibromyalgia or MS, they take it, and it just really takes their pain edge off. A lot of times it takes their pain away. For me, I really do think that it made a difference in my face. Even though I was still feeling pain, I don't feel like it was as bad as it could have been. I also feel like it helped my immune system and regulated it with everything else that I was doing. It kind of just gave me another extra push. I had energy. I was not sick. I have not, besides I did get COVID. I did get the Delta variant COVID, which I beat very easily, by the way, which I'm surprised. I thought I was going to do terrible, but it was fine. But besides that, I've not been sick in 2.5 years since I've been on that. So I just feel like it really just gives you, and it does have a lot of studies about what it does for your immune system and how it, you know, raises it and stuff. So,
I use it a lot for my cancer patients, you know,
yeah.
And obviously the autoimmune that you're talking about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've heard that. I think that's amazing. So I do think that Dr. Rawls and Amy Myers got me to a certain point, but I feel like kind of like everybody that does a Lyme journey, you have to move on to something else. Uh-huh. So, I did, bioresonance. I don't know if anybody's heard, if you guys have heard of that. Mm-hmm. So I guess a quick summary for people that don't know, bioresonance is a machine that, measures your, and correct me if you have a better definition for this. You hold on to, I guess, what are those, I guess, called a knob? I don't know. They're two handles that you hold on to, and there's a machine that sends, you can't feel it at all, that sends like electricity, well, or energy, electricity pulses right through you. And the gist behind it is everything has a frequency. Lyme disease has a frequency, cancer, you know, everything has a frequency number, and we know what those are, and it's input into the computer system already. And they take, you know, whatever you're searching for. Like I went in for Lyme. So she picked all the Lyme and she said, basically, see if you can find any of these frequencies in this person. And it sends all of them. And if they get a hit, if they see that frequency, it shows up on your, as a result for you. So I had never heard of this. I had heard of Rife machine. So it's kind of similar. But there is a place up in Manassas in Virginia that does this. And I actually, there's places all over the United States that have bioresonance. And I went there and I did that. And so they do things a little different at this one. They have you go, when you have Lyme disease, they have you go weekly. And they basically, any of the frequencies that show up, it shows a balance of the frequencies for you. And if I'm not explaining this well, please fix it for me. But okay, so it balances your frequencies, and in those balances, it puts it in a bottle that has like a naturopathic bottle,
yeah,
right?
So it's like a homeopathic, yeah. So we mm-hmm. have the frequency of mm-hmm. these pathogens. And then when you're taking that, you're kind of giving intelligence to the individual, mm-hmm. How to address these imbalances.
Right. Yeah. So you should have explained
it. I'd like to hear what you say.
You did great.
It was probably terrible what I said. People were probably like, what is she talking about? Yeah. So I did that, and I did it for about 4 or 5 months. And I saw huge progress with that. But yet again, it did not take away my facial numbness. But I was really healthy, right? Like I was eating really healthy.
Okay, yeah.
I felt great. And I was having no issues. I was having, like, my brain fog was gone. Like I was so clear. But I did that. My son actually also did that also. He had a bout with Lyme disease, but I feel like kids clear it so quickly compared to adults. Mm-hmm. And so he was done within 2 months of just doing that.
Doing that and taking
the herbs. I mean, he just nicked it so quickly. And he was 11 at the time. So I did that. I did do more chiropractic work, but from a cranial therapist, a much more experienced chiropractor that I felt I really trusted. He didn't do a lot of snapping or anything like that. He did mostly like bed adjustment, right? Where you just lean and then he pops the bed down. So that was good for me. I felt like that really helped a lot. So that I went to a biological dentist, had some up in, I went to NIHA. It's in DC also. And great, great place. They even have like, not just dentistry, but like a bunch of naturopathic stuff in that whole building. So they have the breast exams, the thermography.
Thermography, yes.
Yeah, they have that. I mean, this place is just very impressive with natural, natural ways of living and natural health. I went to him. I did have cavitations done. I feel like, you know, you just keep like, well, if I do this, it'll go away. If I do this, it'll go away. You know,
and each thing you're getting healthier and healthier.
Yeah.
So it's almost like it's a blessing that it hasn't fully gone away because right. You're just getting healthier and healthier right. with each thing you're doing. So was there something that finally took it away?
Yeah. So I did. I have these, and I got to remember what the lady's name is, but I found this lady that basically at the bioresonance place that I was doing my bioresonance scans at, they have these patches.
Is it X39 patches by chance or?
No, I don't know what you're referring to, but apparently I'm not another joke.
No. So X39 patches is just something that we have at the office, and Tanya used
and it's phenomenal.
Well.
So I thought you were going to say it was so great that we were guessing that it must have been that.
Yeah.
It's so funny. It's probably very similar, situation. The gal actually is local that makes them, and they're just patches that have the frequencies of whatever. So she has Lyme patches, and they have all the frequencies of the Lyme. She's got viral one, she has COVID one, she has just everything you can think of, basically. They're
That's
amazing.
Interesting.
They okay. are amazing.
Yeah, I'd like to learn more about that. That yeah, sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. Or if I type it into my computer, I'll know I'll have it. AuraPatches.com and the lady's name is Sheila.
Okay.
But they sell them at this place, and you just stick them on.
Okay.
On your left side. And you wear it for 3 days, and then you take it off and you put a new patch on your back. Wear it for 3 days, just constant back okay. and forth. And the purpose, obviously, is the frequencies are going into your body, like you're taking the homeopathic remedy, basically, mm-hmm. going into your body. A lot of times, this clinic will put their patients on it once they've gotten to a certain point where they've gotten so far that they're really close to healing from Lyme disease, mm-hmm. and they're doing pretty well. But they just need that kind of extra continual health. They'll give them a patch for like 6 months, and then they're like good doing really, really well. Yeah. So I did those Lyme patches. I did because I had hugely, some of my main issues were like herpes 1, 4, 6, and 8, mm-hmm. which I was dealing with constantly. Mm-hmm. So I wore patches for quite a while that were for those. I mean, they have motion sickness patches. This lady has it all.
Wow.
That's awesome.
They're really amazing. And I think they're beneficial. Cause there were a couple times where I would be having teeth pain and I would stick something on and I would get like relief from my teeth pain. Wow. Like these frequencies are just really good and strong. And I could tell sometimes like I maybe would feel weird for a little bit in the beginning cause it was so strong, and then it would kind of, yeah. So I wore those patches. Those took a lot away. Those helped a lot. And I did go on Valtrex for a little while, just like a 500 milligram for like a 30 day. That helped a lot for me. So I feel like that was kind of, and then acupuncture. That's like the gem, right? So those main things. And I just, I guess now that I'm talking to you, I didn't realize how long of a journey this was.
Yeah.
How many things I did.
So, but your facial paint, your facial nameless went away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing.
Very long journey.
Yeah, it is amazing. But each step and each step is like a tremendous resource, you know, for all the different Lyme sufferers out there to recognize what is out there, what is possible, what we can do in order to be able to address it. So I really appreciate you sharing this journey, because it's, you know, there's so much gold for people to get from this.
It's not just Lyme disease. There's, like, you had cavitations, you know, there's parasites, there's mold, you know, on top of the co-infection. There's so many facets of Lyme disease that it is a journey. It takes a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because right. Just like a root canal, it can kind of hold that energy, kind of deplete the energy in that meridian line, you know, which allows then the pathogen to stay within the system, you know, because you have a weakness within that meridian line. So by then addressing that, or if you need to do cavitation in that area, addressing that, I mean, yes, to get rid of the infection as well, but you also open up the energy within that meridian, so the system can then heal. So,
yeah.
Wow.
I definitely do really quick want to talk about, I did all that stuff for physical, but I feel like the emotional and mental health part of it, I know that doesn't get talked about as much because it's exhausting to have Lyme disease or any autoimmune disease, right? So I did do a lot of emotion code, energy healing. That was hugely crucial for my trauma. I did have, you know, trauma and definitely issues. I worked with for about 4 to 6 months, I worked with a gal that does energy healing, and she was phenomenal. And then I kind of, you know, got into my own of learning how
how to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
EFT tapping was huge for me. I did a lot of EFT tapping. Mm-hmm. And I felt like the emotional component of doing energy healing was a huge part of my recovery.
I agree. I think it's, the emotional part of it is just as bad, if not worse, than the actual Lyme and other issues that you're dealing with, because it does take a very strong emotional toll on you. And, you know, you kind of lose your, you lose any hope that you have any smarts. You know, you just don't have any confidence over your body. And at least that's how I felt.
Yeah.
That, you know, and sometimes I even question it, you know, all these years later, I'm like, okay, am I right? Or am I having a Lyme brain moment, you know?
Yeah.
So it does, it takes a lot of work to even just get yourself back to where you were pre-Lyme. So it is an important topic.
It is exhausting. And I know not everybody has a support. I think, you know, a lot of these Facebook groups and things can be very supportive. I luckily had a very supportive husband that kind of just took over when I couldn't parent, you know, and I was just having these moments where I'm like, I just have to sit in the bathtub and just cry. Or I had to, we measured my healing based off of how many times I would break down in a month. Like, it started getting farther and farther where I would come in and just have a breakdown on him and cry. And then the next time he'd be like, hey, it's been a month since this has happened, you know? And then it was like, hey, it's been 2 months.
I love it. He's the perfect supporter. So yeah.
He was the best, and I know that in his mind, I was probably doing like the most way out there things that he probably was like, what? But he just was like, whatever you
do, what you need to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I want to give my shout out that I had the most amazing husband.
and that is huge to have that support.
Yes.
I mean, that is huge.
Very huge. And there's so many that don't have that support. I mean, I struggled with the amazing support like you had. I can't imagine those that go alone. So, and again, you know, that's one of the reasons why we do these podcasts is just to give that support and hope to those people that are struggling. So, well, gosh, you have such a great journey, a great long journey, like you said.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not that long compared to most. Like, I feel like I can't complain. Two and a half years is nothing compared to, you know, what other people are dealing with.
But you did a lot during those years.
Mm. Yeah, you were very kind of aggressive and go after each step, which is amazing. Yeah, it was not a 20-year journey.
Right. But yours was short, considerable. Yeah, but
you were, I think the 2.5 years, there was a lot that got accomplished in those 2.5
years. Yes, exactly.
So, I tried.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what you get for being your own advocate. Like, it sounds like you took that role on. Yeah. So
I didn't really have a choice at that point. I'm like, well, this is...
Yeah. Right. No, Western medicine failed you, so we've got to go with this stuff.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for being with us and sharing your journey. Mm-hmm. And I really, really appreciate this. I mean, this is
absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to help a lot of listeners out there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And
thank you for having me. And one more shout out for anybody that needs a website, Real Food Rebel, Brenda Costantino is amazing, and she fought Lyme disease and mold and all this stuff, and she actually put a blog up and everything she did for free.
Awesome.
Like, amazing. She's amazing. Yeah. And I have read through it. I mean, like, protocol step by step by step. Like, can't That's get incredible. Any better than that. Go Real Food Rebel. I used her. I talked to her. So I'm just little resources that I like kept finding out.
We need to share them all. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for that shout out.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
You as well. Bye. Thanks. Bye now. The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com. And an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld. Thank you.